Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to the show. We are here now and trying to get our show going up the way it used to be. At least one thing happened this weekend that really was not a good thing. Today, the thin blue line was shattered. The public safety family of Boone County is heartbroken. We have lost a canine officer, a deputy, a friend, a warrior, and a brother. There are no words that can explain the grief that we feel today. We are family, and we are grieving. This was the words of Boone County Sheriff Mike Nielsen as he was reading the press release after a Boone County Sheriff's deputy was shot while assisting Lebanon police early Friday morning, and he did not survive his injuries, according to Boone County Sheriff. Deputy Jacob Pickett, 34, was critically injured while assisting the Lebanon Police Department with a pursuit of a wanted individual. He is being kept alive on life support so that his organs can be donated. He was an organ donor. At least one other law enforcement officer on the scene returned fire, striking the suspect that shot Pickett. Pickett leaves behind his wife, Jen, boys ages 3 and 4. He is a Brownsburg native, a 2002 graduate of Brownsburg High School. Pickett's wife teaches the Brownsburg school system. Sheriff Nielsen recognized that he hired someone special 3 years ago, a man who split his time between being an officer and a parent. So this show starts out kind of on a sad note, right from my backyard, Lebanon, which is only about 18 miles away. Lost Boone County Sheriff's deputy. And the sad part about that, it's the first loss of life from anyone in Boone County Sheriff Department since 1935. So it's been a long time. All three suspects are in custody, and the one who shot him will probably serve out his days in prison, however short that may be or whatever. But our prayers go out to the Pickett family as we start this show on the sad note, of course. And I just lost my my studio, so I'm in the process now of getting it back. And so I will go here. There's studio. Okay, the studio is opening back up again now. But this sad incident started about 9:30 in the morning on Friday. And within a few minutes, it was over after the suspects got into a vehicle and headed up north on I-65 or south on I-65 and then stopped on the freeway and into a foot chase, which Pickett joined. And one of the suspects shot Pickett in the head and he died on Friday, which is a sad note, and we will be right back.
Okay. Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man. One
New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the NWCR radio for this, the 4th day of March. Boy, time is just going by so darn fast. It's less than 20 days until springtime arrives, and we are so excited because here, after the winter that we've had, we really are looking forward to having warm weather return, even though it's been actually pretty decent the past couple of weeks. But here in Indiana, we never can tell. The weather changes on a heartbeat. In America, observed Oscar Wilde, the young are always ready to give to those who are older than themselves the full benefits of their inexperience. So it is with the activist kids who have emerged from the Parkland, Florida school shootings of this last month. Each one of them sounds like the proverbial teacher's pet, groomed to take the monolithic message to the media. And yes, you heard me right, groomed. And the sad part of this is the media and the left in this country listen to them like they were the wise old sages of old who knew everything, and everyone must learn from their great inexperience. So, the photo of a sign that I saw on a friend's post said it all. Notice, shooting school children is strictly prohibited. In case of shooting, law-abiding gun owners will be punished. Isn't that the truth? Now, like their educators, these one-track-minded, inexperienced peoples don't impress me much. The National Rifle Association, or the NRA, is invariably framed as big, bad, and this is not cool. My computer has decided to slow down and lock up, for lack of a better word to say on this one. The big, bad, and greedy government, not so as not big enough, and generally good and certainly benign. Though there are undoubtedly good arguments to be made against the NRA, the kids, who manage to be, for the most part, rude, ungrammatical, sanctimonious, and smarmy, failed to muster those points, mainly because the points they were trying to muster didn't exist. The trained pets of the kid that the kids are, the dogged media kids of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High seemed capable of focusing only on one casual factor to the exclusion of all others, including the real bad guy here, and went after the guns, their legal purveyors and their law-abiding owners. Not the ones that got the guns illegally or did their crimes with the guns. It was the guns' fault all this happened, and if only we were all guns, things would be paradise. Out of the mouths of babes, we hear that Officer Scott Peterson and his compadres, they milled about outside Douglas High while inside children were being riddled by bullets, were being made into mere NRA scapegoats. Almost unanimously unmoved were the kids by the fact that the Broward Sheriff's Office had received 45 desperate calls over the years detailing homicidal threats made by the killer and violent, deviant altercations in which he was embroiled. 39 times had the BSO officers visited the Cruz home in the 7 years. A critical mass of criminality and pathology was discounted by law enforcement in ways at once callous, stupid, and depravedly differential. Still, the children's one main point was, take all the guns away. I will not go back to school until legislators do the right thing and pass a gun law. Never mind that there are buku amounts of them already on the books and not being enforced. But one more? Oh yeah, that would do it, wouldn't it? The civic-minded kids could recite purpose of bimeral legislature, but cared not a bit about the imperative of government to protect life, liberty, and property, or about the role of the Second Amendment in mitigating the effects of such a dangerous government. Likewise, was the FBI given a pass for being every bit as criminally culpable as the Broward County Sheriff and his lawful crime syndicate? The Federal Bureau of Investigation is a repeat offender. Coined by Patrick Poole, the national security and terrorism correspondent, the term known wolf denotes the relationship between the FBI and the dangerous criminals it's supposed to neutralize. And that's almost exactly what it seemed to be. And it actually was. In almost all of America's major terrorist attacks, and the Parkland school shooting too, the FBI failed to stop well-known known wolves. Teachers are saying that security makes us feel sad. We're here to learn and to teach. Since their strength ultimately rests on their relationship, and I've got to go back here and make sure, okay, yeah, rests on their relationship with reality, the kids are immediately in trouble with reality, as shown in Parkland's aftermath, especially the idea that security makes them sad. Fortresses are a fact of history. If young ignoramuses and their teachers learned more history and less social studies and the imperative of activism, they'd know that since antiquity, fortification has protected and facilitated civilization. Learning requires peace of mind. If fortress conditions are a prerequisite for survival, if fortifications keep barbarians and criminals at bay, then the rational mind will find tranquility in security. If there is one thing we should have learned from this tragedy, this should have been it. Troubled teenagers should not own guns. Teenagers who have not been taught the sanctity of life should not own guns until they have been taught. I have had guns around me in one form or another since I was a kid. I was taught from an early age three things. Control your feelings and never point a gun at anyone unless your life is in danger and life is precious. Those three things. I am sad to say probably most kids today are not taught any of those three things, which causes the warped thinking coming out of such as Nicholas Cruz. The trouble is, with this type of warped thinking, it is almost inconceivable that anyone with a working brain would fall for the idea that it was the gun that was at fault. Gun owners. But so many fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. After all, we are being told this by the sages of the ages, the children, the know-nothing sages of all, telling the rest of us that we are murderers because we support the Second Amendment. My mind wobbles at the thought, as Kelly Bundy always said. And you are listening to the new Wise Conservatism Radio Show, or NWCR as I've been calling it. And I am your host, Robert the Infidel, with today's show. The call-in number to be on the show is 646-478-5284. And if you wish to join in on the discussion today, I have always been an advocate for the family, you know, mother, father, and children. Out of the 27 deadliest mass shooters, 26 of them had one thing in common. And I blame the Democrats and the liberalized politicians for this whole thing. And that's fatherlessness. Susan Venker's recent opinion piece on Fox News is very, very important because she points out that almost of the most recent deadly mass shooters have one thing in common, and that's fatherlessness. She begins by pointing out a tweet after the terrible shooting in Florida on Valentine's Day. Actor and comedian Michael Ian Black began a series of tweets in this way. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Deeper even than the gun problem is this. Boys are broken. Venker goes on to describe how this tweet storm strayed from the truth. Unfortunately, Black quickly veered off course. Men don't have the language to understand masculinity as anything other than some version of a caveman because no language exists anymore. The language of masculinity is hopelessly entwined with sexuality, and the language of sexuality is hopelessly entwined with power, agency, and self-worth. To step outside those norms is to take a risk most of us are afraid to take. As a result, a lot of guys spend their lives terrified. They're terrified of being viewed as something other than men. We know ourselves to be men, but don't know how to be our whole selves. A lot of us either shut off the experience or experience deep shame or rage, or all three. Again, men are terrified, and it is groups that vilify men as the animal of the species who are the cause. Because in trickle-down economics, the boys are then taught to be something other than masculine, hence the problems we are seeing today. Now, Mr. Black is not the first to attack masculinity and suggest it's at the root of all evil. Indeed, the phrase toxic masculinity has become a boilerplate language in America. It's not a hard sell either. After all, it is boys and men who are typically to blame for violent acts of aggression. Ergo, testosterone, the defining hormone of masculinity, must be to blame. But testosterone has been around forever. School shootings have not. Mr. Black is correct that boys are broken. But they are not broken as a result of being cavemen who haven't evolved as women have. They're broken for another reason. They're not being taught to treat women with respect and life with respect and awe. And mainly, they are fatherless. And yes, yes, 1,000 times yes, fatherlessness is a serious problem. America's boys have been under stress for decades. It's not a toxic masculinity that's hurting them. It's the fact that when they come home, there are no fathers there, plain and simple. Add that to a bunch of horrible cultural trends telling them that everything good is bad and gang culture, drug, or everything bad is good, like gang culture, drugs, misogyny, etc. And we've got a serious problem on our hands, made even worse by so-called experts not seeing the problem and making new ones with their idiotic assumptions. In other words, it's wrong to be a man. If you're a man who wants to be a woman, then you're okay. Suzanne Venker goes on to explain that CNN's list of the 27 deadliest mass shootings in U.S. history, only one was raised by his biological father since childhood. Indeed, she says, there is a direct correlation between boys who grow up with absent fathers and boys who drop out of school, who drink, who do drugs, and who become delinquent and who wind up in prison, she writes, and who kill their classmates. This problem can't be solved by any policy or any sort of gun control. It's time to have a serious discussion about the degradation of our cultural norms, which to me brings me to the next headline I read, which said, "The left created this violent, degraded culture. Take a look in the mirror, libs, before you blame guns." That headline pretty much says it all, doesn't it? "For they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind." That's Hosea 7:8. And on that article, Andrew Clavon over at PJ Media begins his article that I just mentioned with the Bible passage that I just read. "It's not your ordinary conservative versus liberal argument that invariably shows up after school shootings," Clavon writes. "The left wants to defend gangsters and transgressive art and Antifa thugs, but when the shooting starts, the only thing that they blame are guns. The left wants to get rid of feminine modesty and masculine protectiveness and social restrictions on sex, but when the abuse and rape and harassment rise to the surface, they start whining about toxic manhood. Perhaps they should have listened to the Catholic apologist G.K. Chesterton, who wrote about the difference between reforming society and deforming it, a passage that was neatly paraphrased by John F. Kennedy when he said, 'Don't take a fence down until you know the reason it was put up.'" That, my friends, is the problem with what we have today. We have a left who wants to tear down the fences of the ages without finding out why those fences were put up in the first place. And then they just are totally befuddled when things go wrong. Well, of course they're going to go wrong. They're pulling down things that shouldn't be pulled down. They're tearing down things that shouldn't be torn down. They're getting rid of morals that should not be gotten rid of. Happening in America today point directly to that which the left has been actively seeking since almost the beginning of their reign in our government. Now, the left wants to legitimize disrespect for the flag and for Christianity. They want to ignore the rule of law at the border and silence protests against Islamic ideas that are antithetical to every good thing the West stands for. They should look to Europe, where all that's been accomplished. And now when the European women are molested in the public square, the gormless authorities advise them to behave more modestly. Now, years ago, gormless authorities were telling them, be more like American women, uncover, have fun, have sex when you want. It's your body, do what you want with it. But now that they're being raped and molested and whatever by the immigrants that they're allowing to come in. They're telling the European women to have more modesty, lest immigrants get the wrong idea. When Islamic knives come out and Islamic bombs go off, the police rush in to harass who? Those who question the dictates of the Quran. And on this one, he's not even close to being done. He points out that liberals also want us to be shocked at Donald Trump's sexual problems, even though they've spent years and even decades defending Bill Clinton and his, which actually have been proven to have happened. And all they have against Trump right now are accusations and hearsay. That could change in the future, but right now, that's what they've got. Now, Clavon was writing this piece, of course, in response to the school shooting everyone is now talking about. Of course, liberals immediately began blaming the gun. However, the left has created and celebrated a culture of violence and hate in America through movies, television, and music. And when the people with mental illness who were raised on this diet snap, then blames the gun instead of where the blame actually be. Instead, they really ought to look in the mirror, shouldn't they? Because that's where the problem lies. And it's coming up on the half hour moment of the show, where I will break for messages that come about that time. So we will be back after a few minutes, and after that we will get back to doing what we do the best, expose the lies that have been told by the mainstream media. We will be right back.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Are you one of those people that the left likes to label as a dumb hayseed hick who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and freedom? Do you value your guns? Are you a traditional American patriot who is not afraid to voice your support for America? Do you wish that you had a way to get that patriotic message out? Do you dream of the day you can? Well, that day is at hand because Conservative Nation Media is looking for just such a person. Be a radio host for your very own patriotic venue to get your voice out on CNM. Choose your day and time, and presto, the left will go crazy because more of the truth they want hidden will get out. So do your part. Email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com to get started informing patriots like you who want their government to know that we know what is going on. That's Conservative Nation Media 2017, no spaces, at gmail.com. then you can let the world know we will not be ruled. Respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's the American Traditional American Movement.com, or TradAM as we call our home. Traditional American Movement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative traditional American movement, all one word, .com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there. Trad M is a liberal free website. Well, okay, we are back. As you can hear, I finally got things going and got me some new bumper music this week, which is kind of awesome because I got some good stuff here. And that was one of them, Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. And so we are now back. And our chat room is open, by the way. I was reading an article on Saturday morning about the fate of the future of our military. With the poor exercise ethics of the younger generation, about 71% of them are no longer healthy enough to be able to pass the rigors of the training that recruits in the military have always had to go through. The kids of today can't. They don't get enough exercise. They don't throw ball, things like baseballs or footballs enough to be able to be proficient at throwing a hand grenade. And that, to me, is a sad thing to say about any generation. And that is what we have today. That's where that one kind of ended. But the thing that we have to start realizing here is this generation that's coming up right now could possibly be the starting of the demise of our military, which has always, ever since the beginning, been a great protectorate of the people of America and of America's allies. But that seems to be coming to an end now. As it seems that the younger generation, the only exercise they get is moving their thumbs with a controller for PlayStation 1 or texting on their phones. And if it came down to it, where if we had a future war where strong thumbs would help win the day, we'd be okay. But right now, our military is starting to change the policies which they have held for a long, long time in getting recruits and getting them healthy enough to be able to go out, fight a battle, and win that battle. That kind of thing seems to be coming to an end. And it's just really mind-boggling to think just how America could be brought down by a generation that has no skills, has no exercise skills, has no skill at throwing a baseball, and consequently cannot have the skills to throw a hand grenade. Now we are back. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. And Hollywood now continues its stupidity with Jimmy Kimmel as he does his sick Valentine's Day show, which actually happened on the day of the school shooting. Comedian unextraordinaire Jimmy Kimmel claims to be a champion of equality and of women's rights, but you couldn't tell that from his vicious attack on White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Valentine's Day. The late-night host of Trash produced fake Valentine's Day cards from members of President Donald Trump's administration for a recent segment of his self-titled late-night show, including one vile sexual quip about the press secretary. Now, I think I talked about this, probably a couple of weeks ago. But it's the things that are going on in this country. That is one of the things right there that just seems to be adding to everything that is going on that is tearing this nation down. We have people who are doing that have, like, the new Peter Rabbit movie that's coming out are now apologizing because they depicted the villain as having a blackberry allergy. And yes, that one is actually true. I talked earlier this week on one of my updates about a school in England now that is banning students from touching snow. And you heard me right on that one, folks. It just, the insanity and stupidity that is going on with the things that are happening in this nation are just unbelievably stupid, and yet here we are just doing everything we can to keep that stupidity going. And I know it's not us. I know it's not the people who are working to do this. It's the government. It's Hollywood. It's the media. And, you know, and it's like I had said on the intro for this show on Blog Talk Radio, the Constitution is very straight on what it says about the rights of the people and the role of the government. The liberal left, on the other hand, has been working overtime to get rid of our rights while keeping theirs and making government so big that there is no controlling it. And all they want, and they want us all to have no rights to guns, but they have guns around them, all around them, for their protection. So what gives? People are being stupid because they are not using common sense when it comes to guns. They are using emotion only. The part of this that we need to start looking at, folks, is emotion goes away. It gets unruly at first, allows no common sense to come through, whereas the truth stays constant, never changes, even though the left would have you believe it does. And maybe that is why the liberals don't like the truth. It doesn't change. No matter how hard they try, it doesn't change. They want lies and uncommon sense so that the truth for them can say whatever they want it to at any particular time. That, and they want power. The Constitution, the way it was set up by the Founding Fathers, made government a limited proposition, and that is not what the liberals want. Now, I was hoping that I could get Douglas V. Gibbs on the show tonight, but I guess he was probably busy. I haven't heard from him. So, you know, because he is always a great person to have around because his expertise on what the Constitution says and what the Constitution does and what the Constitution means to all of us could set liberals' heads spinning, because it's a truth they cannot forego. It's a truth they cannot get rid of, because it's always there. This week, one of the things that happened, Reverend Billy Graham died this week. It was a sad day for America. And as always, Hollywood is moving on. The conservative side of Hollywood did their part in commemorating Reverend King, but Billy Graham. But it didn't seem to last very long, because the liberal side of Hollywood has come out, and now they're all after the Academy Awards. Ooh, that's one of the shows you can't miss. Oh, you can't miss that one. Because if you do, you won't know what's going on in America. You won't know what's happening in America. When actually, yeah, you would. Like I said before, chat room is open, folks. If anybody wants to join in, the number is 646-75284. MSNBC has been exposed as being behind the murder of children, and I found this article in the Horn News, and the headline says, "Exposed, MSNBC behind the murder of children." Yes, really. The article, written on March 4th, says, "The real danger to the safety of America's children isn't guns. The danger is 24-hour cable news channels like MSNBC. You won't get this information from the ambulance-chasing hacks on cable news who ghoulishly pounce on every mass shooting, but the science proves that today's kids are not facing a higher risk of shooting deaths at school. If anything, they're safer than ever before. What's more, the violent incidents the media loves to cover are often caused by that very same coverage. One new report looked at more than two decades of mass shootings, including shooting incidents at schools. From MSNBC and CNN and others, that these incidents are on the rise like never before, and the only choice is to confiscate law-abiding citizens' guns. In reality, they're less common now than in the past. This is not an epidemic of school shootings," said James Allen Fox, the Lippman family professor of criminology, law, and public policy at Northeastern. "The thing to remember is that these are extremely rare events, and no matter what you can come up with to prevent it, the shooter will have a workaround. In fact, the risk of a child dying in a school shooting is so low that it's practically non-existent. Now, I know there are leftists out there that would jump all over me for saying that and saying that I'm heartless, and that what about the 17 that were killed? But the facts are, of the 55 million children in American schools, 10 are killed in shootings each year. Any life cut short is tragic. But the media-driven notion that these incidences are increasing is a lie. Fox found that four times the number of kids died in school shootings in the 90s compared to today. Kids are much more likely to be killed in pools and bike accidents than from shootings at school. Yet the cable news networks won't cover those, and there are no breathless calls for bike and pool bans. And on the day that the shooting happened in Florida, on that weekend, Chicago had shootings that killed six people and injured a number of others to very little, if any, news media coverage. They didn't want to cover it because it didn't fit their agenda. Why? Because Chicago is a so-called gun-free zone. In Chicago, the average person plays hell trying to get themselves a gun. It's not so bad as it used to be. And if I wanted to be fair about it, shootings in Chicago are going down. But on with the article. These things might kill more kids, but they don't lead to more viewers. Fox's report, which will be published later this year, might come as a shock to anyone fed a steady diet of left-leaning, gun-blaming, agenda-driven cable news. But other studies have reached similar conclusions. A 2015 report found that high-profile shootings are essentially contagious. And as media coverage of shootings rises, so does the probability of another shooting, especially school shooting. That study found that the contagion period lasts as long as 13 days. That's right in the line with a 2016 study that found that mass killers crave fame and notoriety. When they see the attention of other psychopaths get endless 24-hour coverage, they're motivated to seek their own sick fame. Mass media and social media enthusiasts make a pact to no longer share, reproduce, or retweet the names, faces, detailed histories, and long-winded statements of killers. We would see a dramatic reduction in mass shootings in 1 to 2 years, Jennifer B. Johnson, Ph.D. of Western New Mexico University, said in a press release at the time. Even conservatively, if the calculations of contagion modelers are correct, we should see at least 1/3 reduction in shootings if the contagion is removed, unquote. So these mass shootings are already rare, and if the media would stop reporting on them, they would become rarer still. That's not opinion. That's science. But you can bet the media will never agree to those terms. As the National Rifle Association spokeswoman Dana Lash pointed out, they just can't help themselves. Many in the legacy media love mass shootings. You guys love it, Lash said at the Conservative Political Action Conference. Now, I'm not saying that you love the tragedy, but I am saying that you love the ratings. Crying white mothers are ratings gold. She got called out by the media snobs who claim that they're out to provide information, not notoriety. But if they really want to prove her wrong, they can take the advice of the experts and stop covering these sickos. Instead of glorifying the shooters, how about they give a little attention to the next school resource officer who stops a shooting? Is something you never hear. And it does happen, folks. It happens all the time. But you wouldn't know it from watching cable news. That article was written by Walter W. Murray and is a reporter for the Horn News. He is an outspoken conservative and a survival expert and is the author of America's Final Warning. So he's not just some hack that has no meaning or anything else. Like I said, the chat room is open, folks. I haven't seen anybody in there yet, but that's things that I'm trying to find out if I can get people to start listening to this show, we will go back to two-hour shows. I am paying for it, so we can go back to the two-hour shows if we can get the interest back up here. Hopefully, that will come. It's like my one ad that I had played earlier in the show, and I'll play it again now. Detroit down to Houston and New York to
Liverpool. Are you one of those people that the left likes to label as a dumb hayseed hick who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and freedom? Do you value your guns? Are you a traditional American patriot who is not afraid to voice your support for America? Do you wish that you had a way to get that patriotic message out? Do you dream of the day you can? Well, that day is at hand because Conservative Nation Media is looking for just such a person. Be a radio host for your very own patriotic venue to get your voice out on CNM. Choose your day and time, and presto, the left will go crazy because more of the truth they want hidden will get out. So do your part. Email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com to get started informing patriots like you who want their government to know that we know what is going on. That's conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com. Then you can let the world know we will not be ruled.
Yes, my friends, Conservative Nation Media, being back, is looking for new show hosts to help us get going again. We still have our revenue sharing program going, which means that if we can get enough people coming in and becoming part of Conservative Nation Media and get Conservative Nation Media going like it was before, we can start building on that. And the possibility of pay for all of us would be there. It would be a awesome thing if we can get that back again. But we look through the media, both the left-leaning and the right, and try to find stuff that seems to have relevance to our lives here in America. And we keep finding things that, you know, that says they're tolerant, or they're tolerant, and they want people to tell the truth. But we're always seeing articles about how members of the left try to shut down members of the right when they try to say what is going on and try to bring up the facts as they see it. The left doesn't want to hear it. The left doesn't want anything to do with it. But they're more than willing to give you their opinions. And if you try and stop them, that pisses them off to no end. And it's funny because one of the things that they're constantly talking about is if they're shut up, the right is always trying to shut them up. The right is always keeping them from telling the truth, keeping them saying what they want to say. They always try to hear what the left, what the right has to say. No, they don't. They shut us down every chance they get. With threats, and not just threats to shut up, but threats on our lives, for crying out loud. If anything like this happened to someone on the left, oh, the this whole thing would completely come unglued. The left would raise hell about us being horrible people because we wouldn't let them do what they wanted to do, because we wouldn't let them give their opinion. It happens in government too. And Barack Obama won in his first election against John McCain. At the end of it, John McCain said, "I'm glad that is over. Now we can get to work in passing bills that will help this nation." Barack Obama told him, "No, John, I won, you lost. Elections have consequences." Well, apparently, elections only have consequences if the left wins. If the left doesn't win, then the consequences still go to the left because it's the right's fault that lost. It's the people's fault for not being smart enough to know who to vote for if they lost. And they keep doing this kind of thing. It's like they keep telling us, "Oh my God, you people are so stupid. Why do we listen to this? Why do we even entertain the thought of letting them think we listen to this?" I know the reason why I do is because it gives me stuff that I can use on this show to show just how intolerant the left really is. When Barack Obama was president and breaking laws all over the place, Maxine Waters loved the man. She would have probably had his babies if the opportunity arose, which thank God it didn't. But now that Trump is president, Maxine Waters wants Trump impeached. No matter what. Doesn't matter that he hasn't done anything. He needs to be impeached. Why? Well, the reason why is because the left did not win. The left did not win the election in November. Since then, they've won a few, which is kind of disconcerting a little bit. But if it was the right winning those elections instead of the left would have been saying, "Oh, something's wrong here. Somebody cheated. We need a recount. We need a recount. We need a recount. We need impeachment." There is the main difference between the left and the right. The right lost those elections. And they lost them because I seriously think that the right does not know how to win. They don't know how to continue to win once they have won. If they would stop and think about this for a little while, they would understand that the people spoke. They listened to the ideas of the right and liked them and voted for them. We are at the top of the hour right now, and we will be right back after the beginning of the second hour monologue. We'll be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
630 to 90 10
could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Robin Zander.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Okay, with our bumper music, 15 Days Under the Hood by New Riders of the Purple Sage. It used to be one of my favorites. The chat room, like I said before, is open. And the phone number for guest call-in is 646-478-5284. And we are back. Well, I was getting kind of leading myself into another article that I found, this one on Conservative Tribune, talking about culture, by Cillian Zeal, when she wrote an article that was titled, "Gun Company Selling AR-15s Unleashes Brutal Attack After Dick's Unveils Their New Firearm Policy." And the article goes like this. It says, "How do you become a media darling after a mass shooting? Just announce that your stores will no longer be selling assault weapons like Dick's Sporting Goods did." And it's like we have to remember now, there are no assault weapons that are being sold. The AR-15, which everybody on the left keeps saying is a military-style rifle, is not. It was originally made for the public. The military uses it now because they saw it and thought, there is a weapon that we can really use. And they took it and made improvements to it, which the average person on the street cannot get those improvements. The left constantly talks about how the AR-15 is a fully automatic rifle. No, it's not. That is another lie. A fully automatic rifle is like a Thompson submachine gun. That one is fully automatic. You cannot get those on the streets of America. They are highly regulated, highly expensive, and most people cannot afford them. We right now have a culture. The American people are trying to change and bring back to the America as it was founded. And the media and the left and Hollywood and all the mouthpieces of the left are working to destroy what the people want. And the people want America as founded. But that article goes on talking about Dick's Sporting Goods. It says, sure, alienate your customer base, a significant portion of whom likely believes strongly in the Second Amendment. But just look at the press attention you'll get. However, there are going to be plenty of gun stores willing to pick up the business that Dix is leaving behind. One of them is Palmetto State Armory. In a statement issued to a local TV station after Dix made the announcement that it would no longer be selling so-called assault weapons and would raise the minimum age for firearms purchases to 21, the South Carolina store unleashed a brutal attack on the new policy and reminded customers that AR-15s and other such weapons will always be available at the Palmetto State Armory. Palmetto State Armory would like to go on record stating that we support the Second Amendment, the store said in a statement told to WCBD on Thursday. While this may seem like an obvious statement, we as a company felt it necessary to make our opinion known to the general public. Palmetto State Armory also strongly supports the First Amendment, which enables individuals to voice their opinions, even those in contrast with our own, the statement added. Now that goes completely against the left, as I have been saying all along. And I'm still noting that no one is in the chat room, but it is open. We believe that a primary purpose of the Second Amendment is actually to protect the First Amendment. The owners of the store then went off on Dick's Sporting Goods and their demonization of the AR-15. In regards to the actions taken today by CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods to no longer sell the AR-15 platform, while we do not agree with this decision, we recognize the fact that capitalism gives him the right to make this call, the statement continued. PSA, however, does have an issue when misinformation is spread in the very next sentence by referring to the platform as an assault rifle. AR stands for Armalite Rifle, which is the name of the company, not assault rifle. An Armalite rifle, which pays homage to the company. Let me start that one over. It says, PSA, however, does have an issue when misinformation is spread in the very next sentence by referring to the platform as assault rifle. AR for Armalite Rifle, which pays homage to the company that originally created the platform. They also noted that Dick's statement failed to take into account the real culprit in the case, the killer himself. To blame the rifle or a high-capacity magazine for the actions of an evil man is illogical and only applied when referring to firearms, statement said. Senseless acts of violence are a terrible plague on society that we all recognize and we need to try to prevent as a community. But to blame a tool such as a firearm is at the very best missing the point of the problem. The armory explained that cars can be used as weapons, but nobody goes ahead and blames the vehicle itself. When a vehicle is used to commit an act of violence as a society, we do not blame the car, we do not blame the speed or the steering wheel, but rather the driver. It is our hopes that we can approach this negativity with humanity and both sides of the argument can come together and have a civil and intellectual conversation that continues to make this amazing country better, the armory said. We are all in this together. And we all want the same thing, the statement concluded, safety, happiness, and the American dream. Now, which store do you think is going to see more business for its decision? Now, I don't know about you, but I know which gun supplier I'd rather shop at, one that honors and respects the Second Amendment. And that sure as heck right now is not Dick. I am working on finishing that thought right now. And we are working to find more articles for you. The one that we started the show with today, about the Boone County Sheriff's deputy that was shot. One of the things that we want to do is push out prayers to the family of this slain officer. And pray that God will keep them in his arms in comfort. Other things, and my mind just went blank on that one. So, but in comfort and honor, and let them know that their family member is now with him in heaven. And I finally found that one about British, this one, because it is just incredibly stupid. But it's a British school will no longer tolerate the incredible danger of school children touching snow. Yeah, yeah, you heard me right. You know, we've all had snowball fights. We've all had made snowmen, you know, by rolling a little snowball and keep rolling it until it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, until we get ourselves a couple of them. We put them together and make snowman. But the article goes on to say it may have come time to abandon the phrase snowflakes. You know, the name for overly coddled children who are victims of helicopter parenting and schooling, who end up becoming the overly coddled adults who demand helicopter governance. I say this not because the term is inapt or offensive. I say this merely because the next generation of snowflakes may not actually be able to touch the substance for which they're named, at least during school hours. This is admittedly a bit of a stretch in the hyperbole department. However, if the new policy of the Joe Richardson Community School in Dagenham section of London ends up catching on, we could see a lot more kids spending their recess on a rock-salted blacktop, told to stay far away from any frozen water, probably enveloped in bubble wrap because that asphalt is hard. It only takes one student, one piece of grit, one stone in a snowball in an eye with an injury, and we change our view. Jess Smith, headmaster of Joe Richardson Community School, said in an interview on Good Morning Britain. Smith added that it was the duty of care issue, according to the UK Telegraph. Or as the Brits like to say, the presenters challenged him on the ludicrous policy. It's only a bit of fun. Let us throw a snowball, Susanna Reed said. If it was that simple, I'd let them throw snowballs all day long, Smith said. Well, it is that simple. So get your gloves on, put on a hat, and, oh, wait, no, he doesn't think it's that simple. The rules are, don't touch the snow. If you don't touch the snow, you're not going to throw it, Smith said, adding that wet snow leaves kids unfit for school. And yes, folks, these are quotes. And I can do this. Quote, the rules don't touch the snow. If you don't touch the snow, you're not going to throw it. Wet snow leaves kids unfit for school, unquote. Generations of children were able to have recess in the snow for decades upon decades, probably even nigh on a century at this point. Well, even before that, they threw snowballs at each other. They had fun. They built snowmen. They engaged in their creativity out of the white duff. Only now in 2018 does this make children unfit for school. Apparently, we've all collectively gone back in time to an era where snow pants, boots, and coats have yet to be discovered. Meanwhile, Piers Morgan, you know that idiot, who appears to only be capable of displaying logic when he's an old blighty, much to the consternation of his former employers at CNN, said that such policies produced kids unprepared for normal life. Wow, I never thought I'd ever hear Piers Morgan say something that actually made sense. While London isn't exactly known for its blizzards, Mr. Smith said his snow-loathing retinue at the Joe Richardson Community School are now much in the news because the capital of the UK, as well as most of Britain, is now experiencing a severe bout of winter weather. One hopes that they do have the day off, and they're probably gallivanting around the white stuff, snowballs whizzing past their ears, sledding down hills with nothing more than a knit cap as a helmet, building snowmen without asking permission first, and you know what? They're doing fine, perhaps with a little supervision from the parents, but they're still able to do all these things we did as kids without being injured. So when they come back to school on Monday, however, they'll be under the eye of a headmaster or headmistress who thinks the stuff is so dangerous that it can't even be touched. Maybe we've had it all wrong all along. It's not the kids who are snowflakes, at least not at first. It's officious educators like Jess Smith who are the real problem. And they continue to teach our kids. There is the thing really scary. And we will be right back after these messages. Oh, brother. Seems like the first one always takes a while.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Welcome back to the Dump Show. Welcome back to the Dump Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group. That's right, a company especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, tail wagging, backyard hanging, and of course, companionship. And what breed would you say Satchmo is? I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier hound chihuahua looking kind of mix. Tremendous dog. I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle, simply marvelous. You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare. How intuitive. And now he appears to be excited and turning in circles. Now, have a happy dance, so common with this group. And finally, the loving face lick. It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks. Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one. Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefield, but where the enemy was not only like ghosts in the jungle, but they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol. Six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death, destruction, and vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the Viet Cong. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, while his best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson precinct. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past
and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Luca Chukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Root Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the night sky. Matt is the one to find out what is going on here, and without becoming part of the nasty plan involved. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. This book is also available in digital form. That's Night Owls, a Matt Joseph mystery by Robert P. Garding, and I approve of this message.
We are back for the final segment of the show tonight. We're only going for another 6 minutes or so, but we are working on upping our show to the 2 hours that we were doing it for a while. And hopefully that will be soon. But we are in the process of finally getting our recordings back that we had before my computer unceremoniously crashed on me that one time. But I've been looking at the news media and what is going on. Found another one from Conservative Tribune about Mike Huckabee. He gave a letter of resignation this week from the CMA. Mike Huckabee just showed country music what class really looks like. The former Arkansas governor, two-time GOP presidential contender, and protective father of White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, was already a lightning rod for the fury of the left because of the accomplishments of a lifetime. But when he stepped down Thursday from the Country Music Foundation Association's board of directors after backlash from some industry loudmouths who objected to his conservative views, Huckabee had to have infuriated his critics even more by proving he has two things the liberals who infest the entertainment industry in America never will: a rock-solid belief in his own convictions and the courage to carry them out. If the industry doesn't want people of faith or who hold conservative and traditional political views to buy tickets and music, they should be forthcoming and say it, Huckabee wrote in a resignation letter published on his website under the apt title, Hate Wins. Surely, neither the artists nor the business people in the industry want that. Maybe some do. The announcement of Huckabee's appointment to the CMA Foundation's board Wednesday stirred an immediate outcry from the vocal elements inside the industry over his well-known conservative views. Jason Owen, a high-powered manager in the country music world with clients like Faith Hill and Little Big Town, and a homosexual who happens to be married to another man, called the appointment grossly offensive. Huckabee speaks of the sort of things that would suggest my family is morally beneath his, and uses language that has profoundly on young people all across this country, Owens wrote in an email to the CMA's CEO and foundation's director, according to the Tennessean. Not to mention how harmful and damaging his deep involvement with the NRA is. What a shameful choice. Actually, what was shameful was the overwrought reaction from liberals like Owens and his ilk. While Huckabee's credentials are as a social conservative are unquestioned, he's a strong Second Amendment supporter and is not afraid to call out gay marriage for the mockery it is. His record in more than two terms as a Razorback includes support for exactly the kind of music education programming the CMA Foundation supposedly exists to support. But Huckabee's critics hung up a political agenda that often amounts to a fetish for gay sex under the guise of matrimony and restricting the constitutional rights of American citizens. Think that record isn't good enough. Or as Huckabee put it in his letter, now someone who has never met me threatens to wreck valuable programs of the CMA Foundation because of a personal contempt for my faith and politics. It's a disgraceful state of affairs when one of the leading institutions uses a genre born in the deeply Christian culture of rural America to the shrill protest of a vocal minority at the cost of losing the services of a man with a record like Huckabee's. This nation seems to be just going to hell in a basket, and the only ones trying to save it here on the right. But we are running out of time. We are glad that you have been here today. And glad that people who listen to the show after the fact, when it goes into archives, glad that you guys listen too. Remember, CNM is looking for show hosts, and we will be continuing to look as long as we can. And we'd like to say God bless America, God bless our troops, and remember, we will not be ruled. Have a good day.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like a 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down. dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down.
God bless you all.